Music, don't you? Imagine what this world would be like if there was no music. If you go back and study your Bible, you'll find out in Ezekiel 28, it all started with music, worshiping God. And that's where Satan was. He wasn't Satan then. He was the anointed cherub that covereth. Father, bless your word. Give us a time to study together this morning. May we get something from the scripture. Our Father, we need this as our necessary food. Lord, I pray that, as Samuel said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Thy name we pray. Amen. All right. Good to have you. Good to have everybody that's with us. If you turn the Bible to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel 17. And verse number 1. For Samuel 17:1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shokah, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shokah and Azekah in Ephesdamin. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. Now, of course, we're going back a long time ago in history. We're going back to the time of Samuel. And, of course, if you remember, Samuel is the one who anointed David as the king. And David was the king about 1,000 B.C. So we're looking at 3,000 years ago. Have you read many books lately that talk about something that happened 3,000 years ago? I don't believe you have, but you've got one right here. You've got the Bible. This is the story that's well known by everybody. Even people that never open a Bible, they know the story of David and Goliath. At least they know the characters. They know, may not know much about the story itself, but they know the characters, David and Goliath. The Bible said Goliath was a Philistine. Now, the Philistines, along with the Moabites, and along with the Hittites, and along with the Egyptians, and along with the Babylonians and the Assyrians, and all the rest of them, were enemies of Israel. And Israel is a very tiny nation surrounded by enemies on every side. And these enemies sought their destruction, Israel's destruction. So they were constantly on guard against those who would destroy them. So how did they survive? They survived by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's how they survived. God was able to keep their enemies at bay and keep them from destroying them. But they had battles that they had to fight. And here's a battle that they fight, that Israel, that David fights. And of course, he's an Israelite, but it's a battle they fight. And they learn a lot of things in it. Now, the Philistine was a giant. And the giants, a lot of people today, especially the liberal religious crowd, call themselves Christians, refuse to believe that there were giants, that these giants in the Bible were much more than, say, 6 feet tall or a little taller than me. But the scripture is very clear about this. Giants in the earth in those days and also after that. And the giants are still around. If you can believe our troops over there in Afghanistan, they came upon a cave. They had a squad or something, out there, and they came upon a cave that had a giant in it. And this giant was able to take a spear and run it through one of the troopers and just lift him up. We're looking at a big thing here, and there's an enormous cover up that takes place after that, and so. You know, you can believe it or not. It's up to you. I believe the Bible. I've no problem at all believing the Bible. They found bones now all over the world of, in some cases, a creature that's 25 feet or even taller, a giant. So, of course, we know where they came from. They came from the sons of God, knowing the daughters of men over there. In the book of Genesis, and Jude talks about that, the angels that kept not their first estate. So the giant is the enemy of Israel, but he represents more than just the Philistine. He represents a whole race. He represents a whole system. He represents a whole religion, and he comes against Israel. Now, it's the Valley of Elah. I've been there, and our guide said, now, look around. Here's a little hill over here and a hill over here. He said, do you know where you are? We didn't know. He said, this is Elah. And I remembered when he said Elah, the Philistines were on one side and Israel on the other, and the hills, not a mountain, but the hills were essentially about the same height. So neither army was above the other. But these Philistines, of course, are the constant enemy of Israel. Now, don't get the Philistines mixed up with the Phoenicians. The Phoenicians is an entirely different group of people. The Phoenicians were very seaworthy people. They traveled all the time on the oceans, and they were like the Dutch were back a few hundred years ago, and then the Spanish, and then the French, and then the English, and all of that. So the Philistines were Canaanites. And they were people who were in the land that were usurping the promised land. They were where they should not have been. And they had no business there. So this enemy comes against Israel. The most unlikely of all people is going to be the champion of Israel. And that champion is going to be David. It's important to know this. David was a shepherd. A lot of people have the idea that a shepherd is a simple, serene life. It's anything but that. David said plainly, when the bear or the wolf or the lion or whatever it was attacked the sheep, he would be there to free them. He even pulled the lamb from the mouth of the lion. Now that takes some courage, believe me. In those days, they've got the skeletons over there. In those days, they had lions walking in the Holy Land. Shepherd had to be, he had to have courage. And he had to care for his sheep. He had to love them, take care of them. And they knew his voice. I was watching a thing the other day, AKC registered dogs. You know what I'm talking about? This big deal. They have a show every year, maybe more than one, I don't know. But they make a big deal about the breeds of these dogs. Well, they have bred certain dogs to move sheep about. They'll send the dog out, and the dog will get the sheep, and it'll bring it back in. And, of course, that serves a good purpose. The dog's fast, run out there, and the sheep will run from it, and he'll drive the sheep toward the barn, wherever he wants to put them. Not so in the Holy Land. They don't use dogs to drive sheep. The shepherd walks before them. When I was in Galilee, I heard a bell, and I looked over, and here came about, it looked like 200 or 300 sheep, and the shepherd was right in the front, and all he was doing is walking, and every one of those sheep were following in line. They were following him, just like the Bible says. They follow the shepherd. And that's what, of course, spiritually we do. The Lord Jesus is the good shepherd that gave himself for us. So David is a shepherd. He learns something about life that you don't learn in camp. You don't learn in a house. You really don't even learn it in school. You have to experience it. And he had. He knew what battle was about. David understood what blood battle was about. He understood what it was like to hazard his own life to protect another life and save it. So we have here a confrontation that I think is very important in the sense that it'll teach us some lessons that we need to learn. For example, look at chapter number 17, verse 26. 1 Samuel 17, 26. David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what should be done to this man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? That's an attitude, and that's a good attitude, because he was saying simply, "It's if God be for us, who can be against us?" It's a rhetorical statement. You know, there's nothing making a difference who's against you. It's a waste of time because God's almighty. And so he's saying of Goliath, this is an uncircumcised Philistine. What are you afraid of? That's what he was saying. Even though in appearance he was greater, larger, stronger than anything Israel had to offer, David looked past that and he looked into the motive behind it and the spirit and power motivating the one standing before him. In plain words, he says, I'm not fighting against flesh and blood. I'm fighting against a spiritual kingdom, a spiritual battle, a spiritual warfare that's going on. That's exactly what we're doing now in this country, I hope. I hope enough people have taken it into their heart to understand that we have a country full of uncircumcised Philistines. And their God is not our God. And so who are these people to come against the church of the living God? Think about that for a moment. The battle is not mine, David said, but the battle is the Lord's. That's right. He's called the captain of our salvation. This is what Joshua found out when he stood at Ai right outside of Jericho. The Lord said, take your shoes off, for you stand on holy ground. This is sanctified ground. This is ground set apart unto the Lord. And he said, this is the captain of the host of the Lord. And that's, of course, is the commander of God's host. Now, folks, I believe that. I firmly believe it. I believe if God's people get on their knees and start praying, I believe if we do what we're supposed to do, stick in this book, stay with the Bible, I believe that you will see a victory. And you'll see a victory, not in the form that you think, but you will see victory. And that's all I'm looking for. I'm looking for. Folks, it's not about your country. It's not about your flag. It's not about your president. And it's not about your political party. It's about the Lord God Almighty. Amen. Amen. And I would that some people got a hold of that, because I think they've forgotten. But anyway, he look at 17, 1 Samuel 17, verse number 28. And Eliab, Elohim, Father God. God is the Father. Ab is short for father. So Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men against Eliab's anger was kindled against David. Now this is the firstborn. And when Jesse named him, he named him because of his strength was in him. You see, the firstborn is the one where the strength, he has the privilege of the priesthood of the family. And he gets a double portion of the inheritance. It was very beneficial to be firstborn, according to the culture of these people. And so Eliab speaks as therefore the representative of the whole family. And look what he says. His eldest brother heard when he spake unto the man of Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest simply see the battle. But I have a question for Eliab. He's standing there with the rest of them. What did he make himself known? Well, didn't he take up his sword and his shield and go down to meet Goliath? It's awful easy to criticize somebody, but I didn't see him moving, did you? Oh, no, no. He stood and quaked in fear like the rest of them did. Because he was judging by the outward appearance and not by the promise of God. We're outnumbered in this country. I hope you understand America is no longer a Christian nation in any sense of the word. And it's no longer a pagan nation. It's a barbaric nation. But that's where it leaves. The progression is unbelief, paganism, barbarism. And now they're barbarians. Did you notice how they turned on each other? A man the other day, they drug him out of his truck and they beat him down to the ground. And it's a sad thing to see this happen to him. And did you know that it hadn't been that much, had that far back in the past? He was marching with them. He was a member of their group. I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee. I grew up here. 50 years ago, it was not unusual at all to see a pack of dogs. Anybody's ever seen a pack of dogs running around the street? See, you older folks have. You know what I'm talking about. You don't see that today. Hardly even see a stray. But back then, dogs ran in packs, especially if you had one in heat. They'd follow that dog. And I remember seeing that time and time again. They had the I forget what he's called. He had his little truck there, but he couldn't. Apparently, he was underfunded. But the point is this. These dogs running in packs would turn on each other. How many of you have ever seen that happen? That's a dog fight, and that's what I'm talking about, when they turned on each other. At one time, they were in a pack. Then they turned on each other. That's the mob out there in the street right now. You understand? They're not motivated by any moral code. No, 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 no. They're not motivated by some high ideology. They're motivated by animalistic instinct. And that's what they're going after. And that's as far as they go. And if you don't go along with them and whatever new fad, new instinct, new comes down the road, if you don't go along with it, they'll turn on you. Watch them. Watch them. They turn on each other. That's exactly what happened in the French Revolution. Go back and read a little bit about it. Maximilian Robespierre, he was one of the big ones that chopped off head, chopped off head, chopped off head. They turned on him and he had his head chopped off. Yeah, that's what happens when you get in that. That's not us. That's not us. We bind up our wounded. We've got a motivation here that's higher than us. We've got a purpose in being here. My purpose in being in this house today is not to an animalistic, momentary, feel good or feel something purpose. My purpose in being here today is to serve the one who called me out of darkness into light. And so it was with David. And Eliab made fun of him. And he talked about him being down there as though bleating sheep. So obvious, Eliab was no shepherd. He'd never been a shepherd. Notice, out of all the people of Jesse's sons, it was the shepherd boy that went against Goliath. The shepherd boy. My sheep know my voice, and they follow me. I'm one of his sheep. That's what I am. I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I am. He's everything. He's everything to me. And so this shepherd boy was hurt. No doubt he was hurt deeply when his brother said that to him. Because I no doubt he loved his brother. He loved him. And that hurt. You see, that was kind of like Joseph when his brethren sold him into slavery. You remember that? You remember how it hurt him? It had to hurt deeply to know they turned on him. What did they turn on? It wasn't Joseph they turned on. It was that coat of many colors that came from visions and dreams and seeing and Jacob knowing that this boy's got something none of the rest of them have. That's what it was about. It was about this hand of God that was on his life that separated him, that called him into what he was. And Joseph, of course, paid a deep price for it, but God was in it, wasn't he? He used Joseph. If Joseph hadn't been in Egypt, Jacob would have starved to death. But that can't happen because the Messiah is going to come from Jacob, Israel. So that's not going to happen. So even though it looks like it's not going to happen, looks like a total failure, like it does right now, it looks like the enemy is winning. I mean, look at us. We're sitting in here this morning. We used to have a good-sized crowd in this house, didn't we? Look what's happened with the plague. But now, these colleges and universities around the country, they get together in their dormitories and in their places, and they just get in there and they have themselves one raunchy, drunken time, don't they? Oh, they'll bark at them a little bit and this and that, but do you see anything happening? No, you don't see anything happening because they have no respect whatsoever for what's going on. They're controlling you. We're learning to be controlled. John MacArthur out there in California is in a dogfight with the governor and with that ruling class. And MacArthur has flat told him, he said, we're going to meet and we're going to have church. And if you have to, lock me up in jail. That might be one of the best things that ever happened in this country if they gathered up 3,000 or 4,000 pastors and locked them up. You reckon any of the people would look up if they locked them up? John MacArthur said, no, you're not going to do that. You know what he did by doing that? By doing that, John MacArthur was saying, all these years I've been on radio and I've been on here preaching and teaching and talking to you. Well, this is my life and who I am, and I'm going to back it up with the way I live. I don't want to go to jail. But Caesar is not going to tell us whether we can come together and worship God or not. So bottom line is, we have an enemy out there. And make no mistake about this, Caesar is not your friend. I don't care if he's a Republican Caesar or a Democrat Caesar. He's not your friend. This is not to say that you don't have to use some sense when it comes to an election day. But still, your hope is not in them. Amen. I get real aggravated with this stuff. Because a lot of people think that a party, political party, is their savior. No, it is not. That's like going down to Egypt for help. The Lord told them plainly, do not do this. So these people are standing there. They're worried. They're afraid. They're fearful. Here comes a shepherd boy, and here's a shepherd boy. I mean, look at what he said. Who is this Philistine? that he should defy the armies of the living God. Well, he's not a dead God, is he? He's the armies of the living God. Is he still alive?
Amen.
Is our God still alive?
Amen.
Let me tell you something about their God. Their God is like Laban's God. Yeah. Who stole my God? We was talking to Rebecca. She carried it off, you know. She had packed on a mule. Where's my God at? Well, I'd hate being shaped like that. I'd have to hunt my God, try to find him, prop him up. That's remember Dagon? Lord of mercy, I believe I'd have changed gods when Dagon was found lying flat of his face. They had to prop him up, and he busted him up again. Good night, man. And they said in their pagan ignorance, they said, who is this God of Israel? What do we, that's attached to this ark? Let's get rid of this thing. And they started doing what pagans do. They made images of certain things. Won't get into all that today. But they were trying to deal in their ignorance with the true and living God. This is what the world does right now. They're trying to deal in their ignorance with the true and living God. Folks, when you deviate from the book right here, you're in trouble. You can't do it. You certainly don't look to them for any inspiration or understanding about what's going on. So, who was it that had Laban's God? You remember? I just said a moment ago. His daughter carried it off. Now, I don't know. I think she was probably her pagan herself. Felt that that would bring good luck to them as they carried it off. You see, it took Rebecca a little while to come to saving knowledge of the Almighty in the Old Testament, just like it does everybody else. It took her a while, and God eventually revealed himself to her. All right, so now look at chapter 17, verse 43. 1 Samuel 17, 43. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog? And nothing lower than that in the Bible. There's nothing lower than a dog, okay? I'm not talking about your little pet at home. We're not talking about all that. But I'm talking about what the Bible says. There is nothing lower than a dog. And remember, these dogs were not like the dogs today. Remember even 50 years ago, talking about dogs running in packs. I've watched them turn on each other, and I've watched the blood fly. I know what I'm talking about. I mean, boy, they gnash at the teeth, and they come into each other. I remember a few years back, my brother-in-law had a little dog, and I forget the name. I think it was Trixie. I'm not sure. But a pack of dogs got a hold of it and killed it right out there in front of the house. Happens all the time back then. So, you know, this is simply what the Bible says. He says, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by what? By his gods. And you can do that when your God is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. He cursed by his gods. You see, he cursed in the name of this God, cursed in the name of that God. His gods, plural. Got many gods, cursed in their name, cursed here, cursed there, cursed here, cursed there. That's a shame, isn't it? Isn't that sad? Because we bless. We bless. We bless. Why do we bless? Because we've been blessed. But anyway, do you think that stopped David? No, it didn't stop him. Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. He was confident, wasn't he? This little boy dare come out here in front of me. He was offended. He looked over at Israel and he said, you mean you don't respect me enough to send a champion out here to deal with? This is not a worthy opponent. See, that's it. You don't just challenge the heavyweight champion of the world. You know that, don't you, in boxing? You go ahead and challenge him. He won't waste his time with you. You're going to have to beat 15 or 20 or 30 heavyweights on up before you finally get to him. You're going to have to earn your way up to where you have earned the right to get into the ring and fight that heavyweight champion. That's bottom line. That's the way it works. This is what's going on here. Who are you to come against me? It wasn't David that came against him. He didn't understand that, folks. David didn't come against him. No, no, no. God came against him. David was simply the instrument that God used. That's what we are today. We're laborers together with Christ. We're instruments that God uses. You don't have to find something to do for God. Get on your knees and pray and let God move your heart and put a burden in your soul and warm you up to something. He'll show you what he wants you to do. And believe me, there's plenty around that needs to be done. No question about it. But he said anyway, the Philistine said, come here. Then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield. You come to me with all earthly armor, big armies. Hitler went into Russia with 3 million troops. And they say, and everybody I've read after says that at that time, the German Wehrmacht was the finest army on earth. 3 million troops he went in there with. Barbarossa. He didn't make it. He said, thou comest to me with a sword, a spear, and a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Amen. How would we learn that? If we don't know anything about who we are and our foundation, we ought to know that. I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm expendable. God could take me in a moment. I could be gone from the face of this earth. I don't come to you in my name. It's not my power and my authority. That's meaningless. That's nothing, folks. A man is here today and he's gone tomorrow. You look at this bunch up here in Congress strut around like they're some kind of a little demigod. Well, they could be gone in a heartbeat. They'd be carrying their dead body out of that place and laying it in the morgue this evening or tomorrow morning. They're nothing in the world more than human beings just like all the rest of us. That's all they are. But they're puffed up. Pumped up. They're elite. They think they know better for you than you know for yourself. David said this. Thou comest to me with a sword and spear and shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Boy, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Amen. Amen. Folks, you know that one time the church was a powerful place. I was listening to J. Harold Smith's God's Three Deadlines the other day. How many's ever heard that? We brought J. Harold Smith. I had him, met him and brought him here at Temple 30 years ago. I forget how long. A wonderful man. I mean, J. Harold Smith, wonderful man. Went to pick him up at the motel, and he said, preacher, let me show you something. He had a legal pad. He said, this is my letter to the Lord today. He wrote the Lord a letter every day. J. Harold Smith did. And he was one of those sorry, low-down, stinking dogs that got saved. See, he got saved, no question about it. And the first time I met him was outside of a radio station over here, WKXV, when they used to be down here off of Broadway, across from Rose Funeral Home, that area. First time I met him was out there. I walked out the door, and I saw him out there. I knew who he was. And I walked up to him, and I said, Brother Smith, I'd like to meet you. My name is so-and-so and so-and-so. He said, Brother, nice to meet you. Give me your hand. And he took hold of my hand, and he started praying right there, right on the spot. He started praying. That's the kind of man he was. Amen. It's the kind of man he was. Well, he's talking about three people that had came to one of his meetings, businessmen, and he said that one of them said, "Hey, old man, shut up. You don't have anything to say." Mocked him, made fun of him. Three of them did. They made fun of him. And J. Harold Smith said that I had to ask the Lord, "Lord, is it okay for me to lay my Bible down for just a few minutes and go out here and start kicking some iron in? Is that all right?" That was J. Harold Smith. I thought that's pretty good. He was honest. I felt that way. How many of you ever felt like that? If I could just lay my Bible aside for a few minutes. He did. The Lord said, no, you just keep on preaching. So he did. But when it was over with, that night, one of those three dropped dead. Next day, one of those three got hit by a car, dropped dead, and was killed. Somebody came to the third one. The third one said, I was one of the three in that tent. He said, the other two are dead. And he said, I'll be dead before long. And sure enough, he was dead before the sun went down that evening. Three of them dead. You say, God, can God do that? Are you kidding me? One angel of the Lord took care of 186,000 of Sennacherib's troops. What do you think the angel of the Lord could do? Dead. I'm not up here preaching death, but I know this. They came against God's man. I heard about I think it was J. Harold Smith. It could have been another one. I used to listen to a lot of them when I first got saved. But he held tent meetings. And he said that he counted at one time the number of times that people had come into that tent and put a gun right in his face and pulled the trigger, and it misfired. 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 Yeah, Oliver Green was, I think it was Oliver Green. Oliver Green. He was called the black sheep. Oliver Green had a terrible, terrible test of what he used to be, but God saved him. And have you ever heard Oliver Green preach? I'm not talking about radio. I'm talking about preaching in a tent. I heard him. He's one of those old-fashioned preachers that got up in the tent, and he just reared back and preached the word. And I'm telling you, the power of God was on him. Oliver Green. I listened to him every day when I first got saved. I still do, if I got an opportunity to get to the radio. But misfire, 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 misfire. There was a time when the church prayed and it shook the foundations. A time when the church prayed and God opened doors. A time when the church prayed, and my dear friend, it's like David when he stood there before Goliath. You come to me with a shield and a spear and armor and sword and all of that. I come to you in the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. I still come in that name. I do. I do. Man, I do. You talk about a miserable little know-nothing, nothing crowd. It's that mob out there in the street. They think they're going to drive God Almighty out of this country. Folks, don't ever get the Elijah syndrome. There are thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions out there who love our Lord Jesus Christ. And they may just be waiting for somebody to... You remember when, who was it, Absalom? He wanted to get Joab's attention. He sent emissaries to Joab and said, I want to talk to you about something. I forget exactly the detail. I hadn't read it in a while. But Absalom said, I want to talk to you. And Joab said, I don't have time for you. You know what Absalom did? He set his barley fields on fire. He had time then. And that's the way it works. God wants your attention. He'll set your barley field on fire. That may be what he's doing right now in the church. Setting the barley field on fire. All right. Well, we got about 5 minutes left. And let's finish this up. The Lord's going to deliver you. And verse 47. And all this assembly shall know the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. For the battle's the Lord's. And he will give you into our hands. Amen. Came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened, ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. See this running? And David put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone, slung it, smote the Philistine in his forehead, which is an indication that we've got a type of the Antichrist here. Because that face, that forehead, is what we read about in Revelation 13. Smote him in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling with a stone, and smote the Philistine, slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. There's some quite a few artwork. I can't remember his name, that all the woodcuts. I've got one on the website I just posted. But it's got David standing there holding that head. Here's Philistine. Here's your champion. That little boy standing there. Here's your champion right here. And man, they took off. Because everything they stood for and everything that they fought with evaporated right before their very eyes. And this boy prevailed over them, serving a God that nobody could see. Amen. Praise be to God. We're in a battle, folks. Do y'all understand that? It's, you know, it's hard sometimes to accept it, but we're in a battle. I don't know what else to say to you. We are in a battle, and this is not this is for life and death. This is life or death. I don't know how much God's going to deal with America. I've heard a lot of preachers, and I have respect for them. They've said God's finished with this place, and he's turning away from it. And I wonder, why is that so? And a lot of them probably feel like because nobody's on their knees. The church is not getting right. It's not the world. That's for the tribulation. That's when he hits their God. God will hit their God in the tribulation period, and they won't repent. But right now, it's the church. There's nobody on their knees, nobody praying, nobody seeking the face of the Lord. When I say nobody, I'm talking about in mass. A lot of individual people are. Well, many of you, I'm sure, are walking close to the Lord and in fellowship with him. But I'm talking about the church as a whole. If there ever was a time when the church needed revival, it's now. But I don't know if it'll come. I don't know. That's not my place to say. Like I say, it would be so sad if if God was finished with America. It would be. It wouldn't be finished with the church. Oh, no. Good night, no. Do you know there's millions of people out here being saved? Out here in the world, separate from us? Millions of them? There's moves of God taking place in Eastern Europe. And if you can believe some of the stories that you get out of Russia, there seems to be some kind of a move of God in Russia. I'll be very careful what I said about Russia, though. And because, you know, they filter everything that comes out of that country. God's not finished with his church. He's going to come for his church. Amen. Are you looking for his appearing? Amen. Hallelujah, God, I am. Amen. Amen. Father, bless your word. In time we've had come together to study it this morning. This simple little lesson about David and his confrontation with Goliath. I pray this in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. God bless you.